hello, 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 hello. This is too many hellos, and welcome to the Pixelated Sausage Show. Hi. I've said hi or hello enough. I'm, of course, your host, Mark Cusinez. How y'all doing? If you're watching the video version, you can see that I have significantly less hair than I did last time. I've talked about for a very long time wanting to grow it out, just let it go and go and go longer than all those hellos. But I got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore. So I made it a point to get my hair cut yesterday, Wednesday, so that I'd be freshly cut for the recording of this podcast. Even though my regular stylist was not in attendance at my preferred place of haircuttery. And you know what? I feel mean saying this, but kind of think this is the best haircut I've had yet. And I'm very happy with it. I'm very happy to be rid of the hair because the medium phase was going to take a long time, I could tell. And while there are instances where I thought my hair looked not terrible, there were far more where I thought it looked awful and required wearing a beanie just to feel comfortable in my own skin. And I don't think that was healthy for me. And I'm also pretty sure that if I let it get to the long stage, it wouldn't be a good look for me. I think this works. I thought about buzzing it for a second, but while I at least have the hair to do something with, I want to still get a proper haircut. I want to at least physically, that sounds a little weird, but I'm not one who puts a lot of effort or time into their physical appearance because I don't know what to do with any of this stuff. I'm not using moisturizer or any of that stuff. I take a shower when I feel like I need it. Spoilers, I do not take a shower every day. I think that is over. I don't think anyone, unless you are sweating, you're working in a factory without air conditioning like I did many, many, many moons ago, or doing some kind of exceptionally dirty work where it makes sense to wash yourself because you're fucking filthy. You don't need to take a shower. Are you working in the gym? Hard? Sweating? Every day? All right, take your shower. Are you working in some office? You're working at Best Buy? I was just at Best Buy and it's kind of a sad shadow of its former self. No one was there. A lot of empty open spaces. And they didn't even have an iPad Pro of any size that I could show my dad just so he could see what the size was like. In preparation, excitement for the iPad Pro with the OLED screen. You could say an OLED screen that I'm incredibly excited for and I'm just waiting every day for them to announce it so that I can put in my pre-order and eventually get it and be more capable of doing more stuff with my art with the power and the improved screen and the larger screen space. Because I've been using an iPad Air from a few years ago, which has served me well. It's a adequately powerful machine, but it limits how many layers I can use in something like Procreate and the size of the canvas. It doesn't make it a small canvas, but I think of how much larger I can get. Ooh, I'm excited about that. Large and in charge. But there was nothing there. And I just went there to recycle some stuff. And the greeter at the door complimented this hoodie Metal Gear hoodie, which I'm wearing again. I may have worn that on the last episode. I don't think so. Because I try to switch up my sweatshirt, not game, but just what I'm wearing every week. So I think maybe it was the... Was it the Katamari Damacy one? Or was it the... I think it was a short hike. It doesn't really matter. But I don't even know what I'm talking about. How much time has gone on? 5 minutes? Okay. It feels like it's been 15 minutes of me rambling on about stuff that no one in their right mind would care about. But thankfully, it hasn't been that long. All those hellos at the top of the show really threw me off. But speaking about Pixelated Sausage, the show, and all that jazz, and myself, before I get into more important or stuff that you probably care about, well, in terms of the greater news, I have been talking with the patrons, or at least they have been aware of the plans, and I've maybe hinted at it. I don't know how explicit I've been on public platforms like this show, but I am planning a return to streaming. That is why Tat the Backlog is no longer an every other weekend show, and every other week show. That's why the last scheduled release of a Tat the Backlog did not happen. I thought about putting out a video, but I was like, yeah, I was, and then I didn't, and then I just decided, I missed it, so whatever. It's fine. We're all good. The plan is to return to streaming and streaming games for Attack the Backlog or Second Runs or anything, and to not put myself under any kind of strict schedule with those games, forcing myself to play them in ways I wouldn't organically play them, because that leads to me looking for games that are of a certain length that I can get done quick and put out an episode fast and easy. Leads to me playing games that could be meatier in a linear fashion in a way I would never play them normally. E.g. playing Skyrim, following the main story, mission after mission after mission, never taking the time to explore. It's kind of the way I played Diablo 4, but I would have played Diablo 4 organically because I was really enjoying it until I realized if I want that fucking... If I want that mount, I can't just lollygag around. I need to go and do all these story quests and get to basically the end game in order to get the mount, which is the fucking stupidest thing. I don't know if they changed that, but I think, and I've said this before in the past, that design decision, that choice, that singular choice, single-handedly ruined Diablo 4 for me. It may not have been a big issue for you, but locking this feature that makes navigating the open area a lot faster and easier, allowing you to do more with less time, there's no good justification for locking. It doesn't make sense. You could have mounts that are just horses the whole game, and then the end game, you get a mount that's a fucking dragon or some kind of lizard thing or something that's extra cool. That's fine. Lock the cool mount, but just give me a fucking horse. I just want to get around faster, you stupid piece of shit game. You ruined it. I was having such a good time until I realized that. I think my first two streams of 4 or 5 hours a piece, I was really liking it, and then I looked and wanted to double check, when do I get that mount? Oh, that fucking sucks. And then I just brute forced the game and had a miserable time. Jedi knows very well. Jedi was a trooper. That last stream that went on for 8-9 hours of me saying no more after this. This has got to be the last one, and I just kept going and going and going. Diablo 4 is also a game that doesn't want to end. It just keeps going. Oh, this seems like the end. I think this is the end. Oh, it's not the end. We still got another thing. Is this the end? Oh, no. It's not the end. Keep Diablo 4. You could have been my game of the year. And instead, you were the poo-poo of the year. But ignoring stuff like that, I want to play games the way I used to play them when I enjoyed playing games. Because that's the thing. Specifically for Attack the Backlog, I just haven't been playing games in the way I used to. And it's negatively impacted not only my love for gaming, but my general life and happiness. It's made something I love turn into something I don't look forward to, and something that's become more of a, I don't want to say job, but it's more of a task or something. It's taken away from everything. And I think in a way too, not really in a way, but 100% in a way, it hurts Attack the Backlog in terms of me being able to talk about a game and give my true feelings about it. Because how can I be honest about a game if I'm not playing it the way I would normally play it, if I didn't put myself under these strict guidelines and scheduling and all that? If I were to play something like Skyrim in a linear fashion, my feelings towards it would be so different than if I were to play it in my way of exploring and going off the path and spending 20, 30 hours between main story missions. Or in something like a Souls game where I genuinely enjoy grinding and doing soul runs where you just find a good place to grind souls, you kill the same enemies over and over again, come back, go to the campfire, level up a little bit, and just do that over and over and over again. I remember doing that in Dark Souls, I believe the first one, where there is a doorway you unlock after you get a key from something. I believe it's the area that has the wolf boss, the giant wolf boss. But right when you enter there, I believe there are three enemies that give you maybe around 10,000 souls apiece. And they're tough. You can't go there early on or anything. And I don't even know if you'd be able to get in there. You have to get that key or whatever. But I did that run, that grind, so many times. And I had fun because I enjoy that. I enjoy those types of monotonous tasks. But if I were playing that for backlog, unless I needed to do that in terms to level up so I could keep progressing, I wouldn't have spent the time doing that, because that's wasting time for that. So I don't want to do that. Yeah. Getting to the point, though, with the return of streaming, the return date has not really been established or become concrete. I've done a few private test streams with the patrons. What I'm bringing up now is because I'm thinking about streaming tomorrow, the 8th, March 8th, Friday, as a kind of what's going on with Pixelated Sausage hangout stream, just for chatting, for talking more about this in depth or anything where people may pop in and have questions. I don't know what I'd be playing when doing that, because I wouldn't be playing something for Attack the Backlog. I wouldn't be playing the next game, which still may be Sonic Unleashed, except the last time I tried booting it on my Series X, when it got to the Xbox Live sign-in screen, it looped and looped and looped and then froze and I couldn't get past it. So I'm going to see what's going on there, because a few days ago when I booted it up, perfectly fine, no issue. Now, I'm going to try seeing if I clear the Xbox cache. That helps, but The plan right now, though it's in no way concrete, is to return to streams starting tomorrow with a hangout one. And then the schedule for that would be Mondays through Fridays, with Fridays potentially being an off topic or just a hangout free play Friday type of thing instead of the Attack the Backlog game I'm currently playing. But I'm playing it by ear. Weekends will always be off so that I just have that time for myself to do whatever I want, whether that is maybe working on an episode of Attack the Backlog or some other kind of stuff, or just to relax, watch some movies, read some books, maybe actually start working on learning Japanese, etc. That is the plan moving forward. But enough about all of that. Let's get on to what I've been playing. I could talk about the Xbox Partner Preview thing. Pro, is that Xbox Partner Preview? Is that what it's called? Is that what it's called? I thought it was pretty good. I went into it with very low expectations and thought this was decent. A lot of nice surprises. Getting the answer for Persona 3 Reload is very nice, because I think they said in the past that that was... I don't know if they just said that's not going to be in the base release, or if they said we're probably not doing this. That was a nice surprise. But the biggest and most pleasant surprise for me is the announcement, and they're available already. They were a shadow drop. The Stalker old game collection coming to Xbox. That is Stalker... What is the first one? Because the second, I think... Because I'm trying to remember how it all played out. It was Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, first game. And then Clear Sky was an expansion. And then Call of Papaya, or whatever it was, I think was a proper standalone sequel. But I'm not entirely sure. You can get all three games bundled together for $40, or individually for $20 a piece. And a lot of people have complained about the pricing, which I think is crazy. It just drives me nuts how often people complain about pricing in general. The way people complain about pricing is as if they are entitled to play all of the games, and especially all the big games. You're not. No one can play them all. Unless you have an unlimited amount of money, we have to be selective with what we pick. And we can only pick out a few things or wait for sales and not be part of the conversation. And how much does that matter to you? I get so annoyed with how the gaming audience in particular devalues the things they say to love, as if even when a game is 12 hours and it's $70, oh my God, that's so much. The way I look at it, if you want to put a mathematical equation to it, $10 for an hour of a quality experience, to me, is perfectly fine. So if a $70 game gives me a 7-hour experience that I loved, I'm happy. But I don't buy a lot of games, rarely ever, at full price on day one, because I'm choosing not to. I'm fine waiting. I'm fine not being part of the conversation. You may think, oh, you get codes for everything. No, I don't. I get codes for a lot of little games. That's why I talk about a lot of little games. Do you hear me? Do you see me here talking about Spider-Man 2? Baldur's Gate 3? Starfield? No, you don't. You know why? Because I'm a little creator. I don't fucking matter. And that's why what I'm saying right here doesn't really need to matter to you, because who the fuck am I? But I just get annoyed by it, because games take a lot. And if you look at inflation and how little game prices have changed over the years, we've been eating good for a very long time. And you can't compare games and game lengths in that way. You can't say... If you do that, then you could say, look at Baldur's Gate 3. That's $70. All right? If every game then has to be as long as Baldur's Gate 3 to be $70. Or otherwise, you got to be cheaper. Fuck you. Okay. Okay, buddy. Okay. Good for you. But another thing that I found annoying is people comparing the pricing of the bundle on Xbox and the bundle on PC, saying that you can get the bundle on PC for $10. That's because they're on fucking sale. The games are on sale individually or bundled together for $10. Yes, but you know how much that bundle costs when it's not on sale? $40. So shut the fuck up. And of course they're going to be on sale on PC right now, probably, because they knew that this announcement was happening. This will get a lot more people to buy these old games that have been on PC for a very long time and have been on sale many, many, many times. And also, if you've been interested in these games and you've been able to play them on PC, you've probably already played them. This announcement of a console port has not convince you to pick them up on PC. If it has, you're fucking a weirdo. I don't know what else to call you. You're fucking weird. But whatever. Who cares? Anyway, let's talk about what I've been playing. All right. Starting with, and I got a whole bunch of games. So we got Mediterranea, Inferno, Hex Gambit, Respawn, Pop Slinger, Kirk. Yes, the Star Trek game Kirk Served Delicious. No, Cook Served Delicious. Demons of Astaborg. The System Shock Pinball Table for Pinball M. Rip Out. Draw Rider Remake. And Geometry Survivors. A whole bunch of games, all right. And we're going to start with Mediterranean Inferno, which I played a bit of, but it is not for me. This is kind of visual novel adjacent, but delivered in a way that is more cinematic. A lot of bright neon-y colors. It's a story about three friends who have been separated for a few years and want to get back together to rekindle what they had in a pre-COVID world. So the whole idea of COVID is part of it. But there's also things of trauma that it'll be touching upon, various things that it gives you a warning of ahead of the game, so that if that is an issue, you know to avoid it. But what I realized playing it is that it's just not for me, because this is speaking to a generation after me. If you don't know, I will be 38 in a few months. I'm an oldie, all right? There are older people, sure, but I'm old, all right? And this game has made it very clear that I am going to be that person who in many cases now has to just accept the fact that I am the too old for that shit person. Because I found the writing in this to be incredibly poor and very superficial, lacking in subtlety and nuance in the way that I would like, so that I could get invested in the story and engrossed in it and not have what these people are saying stick out like a sore thumb, like something I in conversations I have with people and friends, we do not speak like this. But I don't know people who are in their 20s or late teens, they may talk like this. And it's clear that a lot of people, stories like this and characters like this and dialogue like this speaks to a lot of people. Lady Bird, beloved movie. Booksmart, beloved movie. Bottoms, that they had like a 90%+ on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't like any of those movies. I especially Bottoms, because my friend Jedi enjoyed it, but he enjoys those types of things, so I kind of knew he would enjoy it, but I figured I'll give it a shot. Why not? I lasted maybe 15 minutes on the thing. I found that movie atrocious. I could not stand Bottoms. And I found that one especially weird in the sense that it was so ridiculous that it bordered on being a parody, but it wasn't ridiculous enough. So it lingered in this weird space between parody and just a straight up comedy, a raunchy comedy in this sense, that it didn't feel like it really knew what it wanted to be. But clearly, it worked for the vast majority of people. I just thought it was... I lasted until the aftermath of what happened in the parking lot with the football star. And when I saw a football player in a cage in the background, I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? So, long story short about Mediterranean Inferno. I think if you are a fan of visual novels and you are of that generation and movies like those speak to you and something that is touching upon the current state of the world and the anxieties you have that a lot of us have regardless of age, because I think COVID has really done a number to so many of us. I have so many anxieties. I have things that have come out through that have been traumatic and all that. But I think if you're in that particular space, there's a good chance that Mediterranean Inferno could speak to you, but it was very clear right from the start that it wasn't speaking to me. So bear that in mind. But it may be right up your alley. So don't brush it off based on my feelings about it. Unless you two are like me and you didn't like Lady Bird or Bottoms or Booksmart. I think if I revisited Booksmart, that might be the one that I would have the best chance of maybe growing or having that movie grow on me. Because I really like those two actresses. Shouldn't call them actresses, just call them actors. We should get rid of this actor and actress thing. Because it's a fucking profession. We don't call other... The butcher is not a butcher and a butcheress. Butcheress. Doctor is not the doctor and the doctress. Doctress. Oh. Anyway, next up is Hex Gambit Respawn. This is I believe it pegs itself as a digital board game. But it takes place on a hexagonal grid. And you control a group of combatants against an opposing player. Or you could do 2-on-2, I believe. And the way you win is by scoring 10 victory points, which you can do by bopping. I'm not sure what the terminology was, but bopping the other team's captain. So there's a little like captain tower that you can go there and give it a little smack. Or by taking out and defeating their opponents, their players on the field, which will give you, I believe, 1 victory point per kill, but depending on the setup of the game, you'll also win by killing them all if there's a limited number you're playing with. And you have your teammates who can navigate the space a lot faster by bouncing over characters' heads in a kind of checkers-y way. And you have various skills like thrusting a spear that can attack 2 enemies if they're on adjacent tiles, or being faster than other ones so you can get to the captain's base or stuff like that. it's a game that, and it's structured in a tactics type of game, tactics strategy type of way, where you have with each turn 3 action points, and you can use all them or not, or say store one up if you want, that you use for 3 different actions, not per player, just 3 different actions on your turn. So you can move one piece, then attack with another one, and then use your 3rd action to spawn in another piece if you're low or just want to have as many as you can on the playfield. It seems like a game that is, at its base level, very simple and straightforward. But there's a lot of strategy to the way you choose to play and how you utilize the pieces and their various skills and how you set up your pieces and where you have them on the board and balancing defense and offense, aggression and all of that. But I need to put more time into it. When I first started playing it, I wasn't feeling it. When I put more time into it, it started to open up more for me. But I'm still on the fence as to whether I think it has the legs to keep me engaged for a long period of time. It does feature local and online play, which is nice. But it definitely seems like a game that is way more fun, or would be more fun, playing against other human players. I can't see myself, because in the same way I love chess, but I don't love playing chess against a computer. It's something that I've never been able to enjoy, despite really wishing I could, because I love chess. I have no one to play chess with. It would be my main option. I guess I could play online chess, but I like playing against people I know, but I also vastly prefer playing with a physical. I love physical chess. And in a way, this game, it kind of feels like battle chess or battle checkers or a combination of the two. Battle chessers. That's what they should have called Hex Gambit Respawn Battle Chessers. Would have done so much better. I mean, it might still do good, but it's a game I want to put some more time into, and we'll probably have more to report back later. I'm on the fence about it. Pop Slinger, though. No. This is a game that lost me immediately through one unbelievable choice I still can't wrap my head around. There are barely any settings in the game, and the only visual setting that I think was in there was the ability to turn off chromatic aberration, which is nice. I'm glad whenever a game that has chromatic aberration allows you to turn it off, because a lot of games don't know how to use it. They just put it in there because they're like, oh, this is cool. This will make it look stylized. Agree to disagree. But there is also a very bad CRT filter over the game that you can't turn off. If you can, no fucking idea how to do it. So from a visual standpoint, I found the game incredibly unpleasant to look at. And regardless of anything else, that alone would make me not want to play it, unless it played super duper well, but it doesn't. From what I've played, the gameplay seems to consist of shooting. It sort of works like a beat 'em up, but instead of punching and kicking and throwing and all that stuff, you have a gun that you shoot at these little blobby things that come out every now and again. And you want to shoot 4 of the same color in a row, and then 4 of another color in a row, to create these chains and do something
by doing all this, by building chains and following this tree path thing that'll eventually lead you to something or other. But I found that gameplay, one, the game just doesn't feel good. And then two, that gameplay, that way of playing, I didn't find that fun. I found it annoying. And you have a dodge roll, but it's a stupid dodge roll where after you dodge, your little character does a little pose. So she just waits there and like, hey, you know what? I dodge out of the way of your attack, but you know what? I'm going to pose here for a second so that the whole point of dodging is pointless because now you can just hit me. Cool. But yeah, the CRT filter thing. Until we get an update that allows you to remove that, I won't even give this game any more of my time. Because it looks... CRT filters almost always look awful to me. And this one was especially just incredibly poor. It looked bad. But what didn't look bad, it looks old because it's an old game, was Cook Serve Delicious. I have 2 and 3 on Xbox. I guess I never played them. But I've now played the first game, and I enjoyed it. It's very simple. You get a bit of exposition. Basil exposition at the start, and then you just start creating your little restaurant in this tower. And the way you do it is by buying certain foods that you can then add to your daily lineup. You can have 4 foods or drinks, a variation of them, on your daily menu. And then you start your day and just take orders until closing time. And the way you deal with orders is that somebody comes in, you have these 4 slots on the left. You toggle between them with the D-pad up and down. And then use the right bumper to start an order. And then when it's done, use the left bumper to serve it. But it's just a lot of quick button pressing. It's a game for someone who really likes QTEs, because essentially what you're doing is a lot of QTEs. If you have beer on tap as one of your menu choices, for instance, you hold down or up on the left analog stick until it's full. Don't let it overflow. Don't let it get too low. And then you serve it. That's it. But if you have pizza, you will get an order and it'll give you all the ingredients. And then you'll put on the tomato sauce. You'll press the buttons that correlate to all of the different ingredients. So they'll use the face buttons. They'll use directions on the analog sticks. And there'll be a second screen if there are enough ingredients that'll correlate to more inputs. And you just press all the ones that are related to the ingredients, the order the person placed. And then with the pizza, then you put it in the oven and let it cook for a time. You have to pay attention on the left side to make sure that the order doesn't burn. And then when it's nice and ready, you serve it. Then you have things in the middle like a corn dog. Corn dog, you just want some ketchup on it or maybe some mustard. That's it. All right, there you go. Simple. Some ice cream. You want some scoops, maybe a little sprinkles on there, maybe a cherry. All right, that's easy. And then you have a thing like pasta where it's the same thing like pizza. First, you got to put it in the pot. Then you got to let it boil. Then you got to take it out before it burns there. Then you add all the ingredients and serve it. What I found, and while you're doing all this, there are 2 times, I think, per day when it's rush hour and orders are coming a lot faster and it's a lot more hectic. But in addition to this, you will have occasional instances where you have to clean dishes or throw out the garbage or deal with a rat or flush the toilet. And stuff of this nature can be made easier by upgrading your equipment or hiring help as you progress in your little story, your little campaign. But what I would recommend, and all of this, I enjoyed it. But again, it's really fundamentally when you strip everything away, it's just a bunch of quick time events. And how much do you enjoy that type of gameplay? Because that's what it is. There are certain management things. There's a bit of strategy in what you put on your menu and making sure not to keep anything on there too long that will get stale and start to annoy customers. Not mixing too much of this or that or having things that don't go well with one another. So there's a bit of that going on as well. You want to make sure that you don't let things get... You want to focus and make sure that you're getting as much done as possible so that you don't let the toilet overflow too many times or not clean it so that you are letting your restaurant buzz increase as each day progresses. Picking out what foods to buy because foods cost money. And one of the most important things I came to realize very early on is you don't want to fill your menu with a lot of complicated dishes that require a lot of button inputs until you've become accustomed to what everything does. Because I could see a point where you play this game for dozens of hours and you know all the recipes by heart so that when you see an order and you see it with a pizza and it's got 8 different ingredients on the order, you don't need to look back and look, you know all of them by heart. And if you get to that stage, I could see it being incredibly satisfying, but that's going to take time and that's going to be something that is satisfying for a very specific type of player. If you're that player, I think you'll probably enjoy this game, but if you're that player, chances are you've already played this game because how many games are there that are specifically like this? But I had a good time with that. I enjoyed it. I do wish... It's just... I overworked. I did not take my own advice and I had pasta and pizza on there at the same time and that ruined everything. But I liked it. I had fun with it. I'm looking forward to playing more. Demons of Astaborg has a lot going for it. It pegs itself as a Metroidvania-like. It's definitely more on the Vania side, especially aesthetically. It's really trying to elicit those 16-bit vibes with some nice pixel art. And clearly the Genesis in particular, where with even the controller in the controller screen where you can toggle between the various control schemes being a Genesis controller. But there are a few problems with the game that make it currently something I wouldn't recommend. But before I say those, I just have to say the music, what I've experienced so far, very, very, very good. And just the general vibe, I'm digging. And I really want to be able to recommend this. But being a retro game, going for that classic vibe, the gameplay area is in a 4:3 aspect ratio. So on the side, you have borders that say the game's name. But you have no options to turn those off and just give yourself black borders, which is a real big issue. One, because I just don't think borders of any kind other than just black are in any way ever a good idea. I'm gonna say this, and I'm sorry to the people who put the time into designing those borders. No one gives a shit about your borders. No one's looking at your borders. They're playing the game. They don't give a shit about what's happening on the fucking peripheral. So just let us have a black border, all right? We don't want that shit. But on top of that, if you have a display or you plan a display that is prone to burn-in, well, game right there. Can't play it. Because that you've just removed a part of the audience from your potential pool. Because if you have a screen that's prone to burning, don't fucking touch this game until they give you the option to get rid of that. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, Metroidvania-ish. No map, which I'm not overly fond of. But this is more Xbox specific. I'm not sure when or where or how often you hit save points. But I played the game for about 25 minutes or so. And I wanted to see, because I was curious about some things, the game store on the Xbox store, the game page on the Xbox store. And I double checked and it said quick resume. It says the game has quick resume. It does not have quick resume. Unless it's a bug and it's supposed to. At least in my experience, trying it multiple ways, it does not have quick resume. So if you, like me, go away from the game and come back thinking that you'll pick up right where you left off because it has quick resume, it will not. It will start you back at the beginning. And if you didn't hit a save point, like I did not, you will have to start over from the very beginning of the game, all progress lost. So that kind of really hurt any momentum that I had. And then my other issue is that I don't think it plays particularly well. I don't like the feel of the jump. I don't like the feel of your base attack. But it's serviceable. It's okay enough that if not for the previous two issues, I would be fine accepting that because I like the vibe. I love the music. And I think it's doing a fairly decent job at the Metroidvania thing, despite not having a map. Which, I guess you don't need a map, but I kind of want the map. But the save system, I would like to know how frequent you run into save rooms. Even if you did, you wouldn't be able to. You'd have to remember where they were by heart because you wouldn't be able to look for them on a map. And I don't know if they're save rooms or checkpoints. You do have checkpoints when you're playing the game and you die at some point, so that's nice, but it doesn't fucking matter if you go away and you think there's quick resume and there isn't and you get fucked. So Demons of Astaborg is currently a wait and see. The border thing is a real big issue, especially for some people. And then the quick resume thing, specifically Xbox related, but ties into a bigger issue of the way the save system currently works in the game. So it's a wait and see. Next up is the System Shock pinball table for Pinball M. Play this for about 30 minutes, and while I think, one, I have not played System Shock, so I can't talk about how well it does or how good of a job it does at representing the game. But based on the trailers I've seen, I think it does a good visual job in terms of colors and all that. It's very colorful. It has a lot of those blues and greens and purples and reds that I remember from watching the trailers a long time ago. I think it looks pretty good. But I think the top part of the table is way too cluttered and busy, and there's too much stuff there that obstructs your view of the ball that, especially early on, there were plenty of instances where, and especially at first, I didn't know where the ball went. I had no idea where the ball was, what it was doing back there. And then it would come out from somewhere and I'd fucking be surprised. And then the ball would end up going down the hole. And I'd get a free ball because it was so quick that I didn't even get a chance to do shit. And that led to me playing the game in a way I never play pinball tables. which is always on edge, always very focused, looking at the screen. It's like, where's the ball? Even when I started to get accustomed to where it would come from, I was still nervous. I'm like, wait, what if it comes from somewhere else? Oh, what if it comes from somewhere else? Oh my God. And that's not a fun way to play a pinball game. But I'm also a casual pinballer. I don't understand how to really utilize tilt in a way that is advantageous. And I don't know if I really want to learn to. I just like playing pinball. I think it's a casual good time. But this was one of the most exhausting, anxiety-inducing pinball experiences I've had in a very long time. So I was not a fan, sadly. Then Rip Out is a game in early access where you go on these missions, have a few tasks, take on some zombies and some creatures that pop out every now and again. And it has a cool mechanic where your gun is this pet at the same time, your main gun assault rifle. And you can, every now and again, shoot your pet at an enemy to do damage, and then they'll be recalled, and you have to wait for the cooldown. Or there are these little tiny creatures that you can shoot out and grab with your pet and then bring them back to you to give yourself a little missile launcher for a limited use, depending on ammo, or a shield or stuff of that nature. And it's a cool mechanic. It's basically where Rip Out comes from, I'm guessing the title, that you're ripping out these things and attaching them to stuff. You're utilizing them with your pet. The problem is, it does feel quite early, like an early access game. The gameplay got repetitive very fast, and while it says it has partial controller support, I don't think it feels good with a controller currently. You can play it. I think once it hits that point, if it ever does, that would be the ideal way to play, because I found using the mouse and keyboard and those controls to be, as someone who is way more familiar with gamepad and uses it as my primary way of playing games, to be a bit cumbersome, especially using some of the tools, turning on the flashlight and stuff of that nature. But the shooting felt significantly better on mouse and keyboard than with a controller. That is the part of the gameplay that felt not great. No matter how much I messed with the sensitivity, I don't think it felt particularly good. Maybe just adding aim assist or something, because it doesn't feel good. I'm not sure what it is. But it felt fine on mouse and keyboard. It just didn't have super engaging gameplay currently. The enemies weren't super fun to fight. And while it is, I think it's meant to be played co-op, you can play it solo, and it's not an issue solo in terms of difficulty or anything like that. But it'd probably be a lot more fun if you were playing it cooperatively. Then we have Draw Rider Remake, which feels like a mashing, a marriage of the Trials games and the N series, which I love. I love N, N+, N++, where you got the stick figure rider, and you're driving on bicycles, sleds, big old trucks, ATVs, and you have to navigate these very simplistic levels, balancing your vehicle, whatever it may be, and reaching an endpoint in a certain amount of time to get medals, gold, silver, and bronze, in order to collect enough to open up the next area. Very simple, but it's fun. It is so inspired clearly by the N series. If you land on your head or you hit a ceiling, hit a spike in the ceiling or anything, you'll die into a fountain of blood. You'll just be squirting all over the place. Mm-hmm. But I had a good time with it. I thought there's some creative level designs in there. I like the variety of vehicles, from sleds to bicycles to monster truck type of giant trucks. It was fun. I had a good time with what I played. Nice, simple, enjoyable little racer. And then the last game is Geometry Survivor, which may be exactly what you think it is. It is a Vampire Survivors-like, if Geometry Wars was a Survivor-like. And I didn't know how good of an idea this was until I started playing this and realized this would make a great game. However, Geometry Survivor is almost there, but it feels like an early access game in need of a lot more content. You just have the one space and the one mode, so you're just going around this small little rectangular area, taking on enemies as they pop up in a very Survivor-like fashion, where they're coming at you slow early on, and then you'll get larger waves. But, and as you gain currency, you can upgrade your ship with some permanent upgrades that make you more powerful. And there are 6 or 8 ships in total to unlock over time that change up the way you play. But the music, one, was okay, but not good enough. It needed that extra oomph, because I went back and downloaded Geometry Wars 2, and I don't think the music in Geometry Wars is that great, but it had more of those dopamine hits than Geometry Survivor, which really had none. Not to mention that one of the most satisfying parts audibly about Geometry Wars 2 was the sound of you firing your weapon. The weapons, like all the weapons you can unlock, they don't feel that great. There's not satisfying sounds attributed to all the particle effects going on screen. But more so than that, just having the singular mode and the singular area that is just a giant open space, there's no obstacles that you have to get out of the way. And especially going back to Geometry Wars 2, the enemy types and their behavior was way more interesting than Geometry Survivor, where they all felt relatively samey. They looked different, but it's just especially disappointing because it is such a great idea. It makes so much sense. But what's currently there feels like what would or should be a mode in a bigger game. As it currently stands with just the one map and all of that. So, and once you've cleared it once, there's no real reason to play through it again, which is another problem to having such limited content. I'm not sure how much it costs. It's a game that isn't Vampire Survivors $5 regularly. Oh God. That's what makes it tough, is just unless the concept really grabs you in some way, I would say pass for now, sadly. But that is Geometry Survivor, and that is it for what I've been playing. So, with that, this light is blasting on me. That'll do it for this episode of the Pixelated Sausage Show. Again, I am your host, Mark Kuznets. Y'all can find me pretty much everywhere at PX Sausage. If you enjoy this here show or any of the stuff I do and what have you, you can support me and my nonsense over at patreon.com/PXS. In addition to the Patreon, you can find links to the site, the YouTube, the Discord, and so much more over at pxsausage.com. But that is it. That is all. As always, thank you for watching or listening. I hope you enjoy this here episode, and I hope you have both a wonderful rest of your day, a lovely rest of your week, and a wonderful weekend. But for now, and don't forget, unless things change, because it's not concrete, but there's a good chance I'll be streaming again for the first time publicly tomorrow, starting around 3 p.m. Central Time. I never said that. So get maybe excited. But for now, adios. Arrivederci. Bye.